Oh, breaking the John Dwyer monopoly.
Yeah, and then you go on to say, if possible, Boney M. Belfast.
Oh, well, we haven't got that one, have we?
We've got some Beatles.
Yeah, there you go.
Keep all my love for
you. We've got to jam a little bit of the Beatles tonight. Mm. And then you say, Andrew Gold, oh, we'll have the Beatles.
Thanks to Andrew Gold there.
Yeah, and he hopes, what's that?
He hopes to hear Bert on 266 again. Many thanks, Alan.
Well, you've heard him tonight, so... Actually, tomorrow is Sunday, isn't it? So if you tune in tomorrow...
Today's Sunday.
No, it's not. Well, all right, today's Sunday. So if you tune in today, would you care to flick that page over for me? Thank you. If you care to tune in today, around about 3 o'clock, there's a possibility that you're truly bored, eh? Who's never been heard on the radio for ages and whose name everybody keeps impersonating because I'm the greatest DJ evermore, might be on the air between 3, I think it's 2 and 4 tomorrow on this fabulous station, Radio LNO 266 1125. And you go on to say, Duran Duran, my own.
That was Sharon.
No, that was Sharon, was that a little bit? Okay, so I think that's all the phone-ins. We've got no more phone calls left anyway tonight. So, in fact, all those people that did in fact phone in, I just killed the Beatles there. All those people that did in fact phone in, many thanks, because it makes our little job worthwhile, and we're still up. What's the time now? It's getting on for 25 to 2, isn't it? Hang on, I'll have a look at my digital watch. It's 1:36 and 8 seconds. Yeah, and I'm afraid I'm getting rather tiddly. But there's a possibility that, as I say, we will all be back tomorrow, excuse me while I burp, between 2 and 4. So what we're going to do now is, in fact, hand over to BW and carry on with the saga of free radio.
Yes, okay. Well, I'm just trying to think where I was up to now. Well, what I would like to say is that when I started MAR, that's Merseyland Alternative Radio, when I started Merseyland Alternative Radio in the autumn of 1979, I would say that was the first sort of major breakthrough that, well, it was a stage when pilot radio on Merseyside tended to make a breakthrough in terms of the time that it was on and the time that it operated and the actual coverage. There's a lot of improvements that are made around that time. So basically, from the start of MAR in 1979, when I started it, that would be certainly a very point in time when the pilot's radio on Merseyside made a very major breakthrough and got across to a lot more listeners than it ever did before. Simply because of the fact that it's developed to that stage and it had become fairly well organized on the surface, but unfortunately in the background there was a lot of arguments going on between me and John Dwyer, because he was fiddling the revenue and various stuff like that that was going on. The actual finance, in other words, he was pocketing the main bulk of the station finance, which was very unfortunate. And when it was discovered by me and Paul J, we went around to various advertisers to do a check on the amounts that they were paying out. So the thing is, I got John Dwyer, I said, can you write down for me roughly how much you're getting for each ad? Just jot it down, as I'd just like to know. And he jotted it down, and when we went round, me and Paul J used to do a routine check, we found that he was getting double that amount, and he was pocketing the rest. So that really sort of caused a lot of bad feeling, and that was about November, December 1979. So as soon as MAR started, it was really on very bad ground, mainly because of the bad feeling that there was between me and John Dwyer. Anyway, I overlooked that to some extent, because I'm not certainly a person who can't Live and Let Live and Forget, and that's what, exactly what I did at the end of 79. I sort of gave the situation a considerable chance after that. Yeah, and it just, unfortunately, it just seemed to go from bad to worse, because yes, Paul Jay said, I don't know whether he wants to say anything or not.
Yeah, that's fine. No, we shall tune in with very great interest the rest of the Bert Williams saga in around about 2 or 3 minutes' time. But until Bert comes back on the airwaves of Radio Eleanor, I'd just like to remind you once again that in fact tune to Radio Eleanor, broadcasting on 266 metres, 1125 kilohertz in the medium wave band. And we've been broadcasting all over the Christmas period, bringing music and, well, we hope entertainment to you, the people of Merseyside. We've had quite a lot of phone-ins to our telephone line tonight. Unfortunately, I must really apologise for the amount of people that have phoned in that we cannot mention, because what happens is we have a sort of link between our phone line and the station that's output, which is what where we are now, and it does in fact cause a little bit of a delay, and this does cause one or two little problems. So if you have phoned into Radio Eleanor and you haven't been mentioned, may I sincerely apologize on behalf of everybody here tonight. That's myself, Paul J, Bert Williams, all the DJs that have been present throughout the days of Christmas. Because what really happens is unfortunate. It's not like your legal stations where you can just phone in and we can pick up the telephone and answer you. We're not able to do that. We have a slight delay, a slight time lag. But one or two people we have managed to get through to the studio tonight have wished us many happy returns and a happy Christmas and all the best for the new year. One of which is some... Tanya, yeah, and of course Andy Davis and his missus, all the best to you. What I'm doing now is just sort of interspersing, because BW is having a little bit of a breather. He's coming out with all the real truth tonight. I suppose everybody on Merseyside knows this anyway, but we're in fact endeavouring to make it sort of clear to everybody so that they know that exactly what happened. And of course, you are listening to this on the station that broadcasts the truth. That's Radio Eleanor. Radio Eleanor does not broadcast anything that anybody else says to it. Radio Eleanor broadcasts the truth. And that is exactly what you will be hearing on Radio Eleanor right now from Williams.
Yes, well, okay. We got a few Beatles records on now as backing music.
You'll never know how much I really care. Listen, do you want to know a secret?
Not one yet.
Do you promise not to tell? Whoa, whoa, closer.
Hey, stop laughing, friend.
Let me whisper in your ear.
John quiet.
Yes, we're all making the big joke here. Is does John Dwyer want to know a secret?
Well, I like to tell him that you've been smashed, John Dwyer, from Pirate Radio, because you give Free Radio a very bad name, and you brought good names down, like such presenters, what you've heard in the past 3 years from Radio Eleanor and also MAR and J1000, and you have been smashed, and if you ever come back, boy, you will be smashed again.
Yes, we had a few words there from Peanut Ken here on Radio Eleanor. A little message there if it's what John Dwyer there, if you're listening there. So we've let you into a little secret there if you're listening. Anyway, they're all singing here, you want to know a secret, John Dwyer, they are in the studio here. I'm in love with you. Yes, well, Anyway, I'm going to try and continue on with the documentary now regarding when I started, when I was involved in MAR. Anyway, as I said, after the various double crosses that I'd discovered, I carried on with MAR in the mere hope that there would have been a better outcome in the later stages, but unfortunately it didn't work out that way, because, well, it went up to a certain point, MAR. I left MAR, that's Merseyland Alternative Radio, in about April 1980, but I did in fact close the station down on New Year's Day, 1980, that was the 1st of January 1980. Yeah. I did, yeah. Yeah. Somebody here seems to have forgotten in the studio here. Well, I closed it down, and unfortunately, well, this would be the best way of putting it, I made the rather serious mistake of bringing it back on. I should have never given it a second chance. But I did, unfortunately, against the advice of many friends, I brought it back on. Yeah. Against the advice of many friends, I brought it back on, and I gave it a second chance, simply because I felt a bit guilty about it, that I'd taken MAR away from all the listeners, and it spoiled a lot of the enjoyment and pleasure. So for that reason, I gave it a second chance, and it went. I left MAR in about April 1980, because I'd seen the situation getting out of hand, because there was nothing but continual trouble with Mike Stand and John Dwyer, and various bad things happening all the time, which I can't particularly remember at the moment. Which I can't particularly remember at the moment, just had some more scotch here. But there was a very large number of things, mainly difficulties in running a station with John Dwyer, which I did try to do. The main difficulties were his unreliability. He was always very unreliable. He'd say he'd turn up and he wouldn't turn up. That would happen so many times it would be unbelievable. But he seemed hopelessly unreliable, and he certainly was not a person of his word. I left in about April, and in about the end of May, it would be about the end of May 1980, John Dwyer just turned round and said, well, we're using Eric's transmitter this week, and Eric is the fellow over in Liverpool who runs a station by the name of Radio Jackie. But I discovered before that, about 3 weeks to a month before that, that Eric's transmitter had been tested on 266, that's Rick Day of Radio Jackie. He'd actually been in the actual flat, and there'd actually been various tests made, which I discovered and tracked down. And I tracked it down. As I said, I'm getting a few signs made to me here by Paul Jane. I think he wants to say something. Yeah. No, he doesn't. Anyway, I found out that Eric of Radio Jackie North, or alias Rick Dane, I think I've got the wrong way round, it should be Rick Dane alias Eric, had supplied behind my back a transmitter to enable John Dwyer to take over my station, which was MAR. But that didn't happen right away. John Dwyer said that to take the, I think he did it merely to take the heat out of the situation. He said that he didn't really have any intentions, and he only had this transmitter of Eric's in case I decided to pack in, because I did tell Dwyer that I was considering packing in on a number of occasions because of his persistent unreliability and the persistent problems that I was having with him. So, the situation anyway at the end of May was that John Dwyer turned around and said, well, we're using Eric's transmitter this week, And, yes, what's going on here?
Not a lot. Not a lot for boxing, Mike. Carry on.
Yeah. Anyway, the situation was... Pardon? Yeah, he was just saying something to me here, Paul J.
He was saying that there's been a knock at the door, like, and I wondered what it was, you know.
Yeah.
Are we carrying on broadcasting or are we going off?
Well, we'd better carry on, I think.
Carry on, then.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Anyway, we came to the point where I told you that John Dwyer had said that he was going on with Eric's transmitter, and this caused a very major row between me and John Dwyer. So, a few little things going on in the studio here that are distracting me slightly from this documentary. I'm not quite sure exactly what it is.
Exactly. Manson's smelly feet. I'll just take over for a minute because BW has been absolutely flying here at the microphone. Take over for a minute just to remind you that in fact you're tuned to Radio LNR broadcasting on 266 metres, 1125 kilohertz in the medium wave band. There's all sorts of people throwing wet towels and buckets of water over BW at this present time. It's in fact rumoured that he won't in fact be back to the microphone tonight. You've kindly removed that knife from my back, TB.
I wouldn't be so kind to you.
You're tuned to Radio LNR, the sounds of free radio on Merseyside, broadcasting on 266 metres, 1125 kilohertz for this Boxing Day night, middle of the week, whatever it is. You've got me, Paul J, Bert Williams and Trevor Benson, not forgetting Peter Kenny. If you've been tuned for the last hour, you've been listening to a very interesting documentary that's going to carry on. Sorry about the theme tune, not quite on the hour. It's 1:51 and 14 seconds. For all the digital freaks out there. Well, in fact, Bert Williams has returned and he's got a bucket of water over his head. Yeah, that is in fact your scotch and lemonade there, BW.
Maybe you won't watch the show.
If you phoned in earlier on, many thanks. We won't give you the phone number out again because it's now dead. Like me. BW, TV, I'm Peter Kenny. Yeah, great. The listeners of Merseyside, we really love you. Stay tuned to Radio LNR because this is the biggest and the best station in Merseyside. In the new year, stay tuned to 266 1125 because big things are going to happen. Paul J is now speaking with a cigarette in his mouth. And he just lit it. Time is now coming up, it's 10 minutes to the hour of 2 o'clock. It's the 27th of the 12th, 1981. This is Radio LNR. Over to Bert Williams.
Well, yes, back to me again. I think we better try and get some backing music on here, as I like a bit of backing music when I'm doing something. I do. Should be coming up in just a moment. This is an all-time favourite of mine, one of my all-time favourite Beatles records, From Me to You. And I suppose you could say that this documentary is coming from me to you. To get on with the documentary now, I don't like having to interrupt the Beatles, but we haven't got a lot of time. It's tempted to, well, yes, yeah. Well, it isn't exactly 10 to 2, it's 6 minutes to 2. on this day after Boxing Day, and I'm Bert Williams, BW, here doing a documentary for you. Well, I think I got to the stage where John Dwyer wanted to go on with Eric's transmitter for no reason at all, because at that time when he came up, I just went round to Dwyer's over a small matter, and out of the blue he just turned around and said, well, he wished to use Eric's transmitter this week as there'd been some slight problems with this girl at the location, because from what he told me, the girl at the location was supposed to have been used, she's supposed to have occupied one of the previous locations, and it appeared that Mike Stand had actually told her that there would, this is going back before MAR, that the location would only be used about once a week, when in fact that was a total lie altogether, and I think I possibly got the blame for the fact that the station was on so often from there. This is another station before MAR started. Anyway, this girl was supposed not to want me round at the transmitter location, but from my point of view, I just think it was a pack of lies John Dwyer was telling me, because it was really, I suppose, a fight for power, who was going to run MAR. So anyway, it went on with, he more or less, after the big row, he more or less agreed that we would carry on as normal and he wouldn't use Eric's transmitter. Anyway, a number of things happened in the meantime which changed that, and as it turned out, me and John Dwyer were never to get back together again. That was the end for always, because I thought about the situation very considerably, and I did certain things which ended the situation between me and John Dwyer once and for all, or ended the association. And at that stage, there was considerable trouble, there was, over the situation, and there was a bit of a brawl that I had with Mike Stand, going back quite a long time. And he tended to back John Dwyer to enable John Dwyer to take over the station, which John Dwyer did in fact do to a certain extent. Anyway, what I should do now is that I should go back a little bit to about March, April again. I'm going back again to March, April 1980, when Paul Jay, who was then on the MAR, I gave Paul Jay, well, because I was very busy with the transmitters and one thing and another, Paul Jay had to sort out a few DJs for MAR. And a very interesting thing which I'd like to put across to all you listeners is that one of the DJs that Paul Jay sorted out in, what would it be, about March 1980, was a person who now calls himself Andy Davis. And when Paul Jay first made contact with Andy Davis, he said to me that Andy Davis had some knowledge of electronics. So I said to Paul Jay, I said, do you think that we can rely on Andy Davis not to start getting involved in the engineering situation on radio? In other words, for him not to start supplying people like John Dwyer with transmitters. And unfortunately, yes, yeah. Well, I'm only telling the truth. I've got Paul Jay here making us say I'm rubbing in, like he's sort of saying that I'm rubbing the salt in, like, because he realises that he made a mistake. Yeah. He realises that he made a mistake by bringing Andy Davis into the radio, because I did ask him at the time as to whether he thought that Andy Davis's loyalties would have stuck with me and stuck with him, Paul Jay, because we brought Andy Davis into the radio, and I was a little concerned about it, but Paul Jay thought, well, that Andy Davis's loyalties would stay put, namely with me and him, and that he wouldn't go spreading transmitters right, left and centre to all various people. So, anyway, Andy Davis was brought into MAR, and that was his first, that's how actually Andy Davis started in the radio. I thought it would only fair that we should include such a person in this documentary that I'm doing, because the thing now is that, well, very unfortunately, he's supplied a very large number of transmitters to all sorts of people who have got no experience in radio at all, and unfortunately it has, I tend to feel personally, that it's dragged the pirate radio scene down to a rather low level, really, simply because of the inexperience of the people that he's supplied transmitters with.
Six, 6 meters in the medium wave band, 1125 kilohertz. This is Radio Eleanor. Slightly overmodulating. Many thanks to BW there for his little documentary about free radio in the Merseyside area. We'll be back just after the Radio Eleanor ID to carry on. On this Christmas night, may I, on behalf of all the Radio Eleanor staff, Pino Kenny and everybody else, say thanks a lot for tuning in. We really do appreciate your support on this festive season. Radio Eleanor is coming back in the new year with big things, many lots of ideas we've got in our little pockets here that we won't reveal to you at this present time. If you're listening to us now and you've stayed up, well, what can I say but thanks. Wallasey Taxis and Stan, hi. I'm going to play one record in a little while. After our station ID is finished, just to show you that there's no bias. Band on 266 meters, 1125 kilohertz. Your tunes are the sound of free radio from Merseyside, the surrounding areas, and beyond.
original sounds of Free Radio with me, Paul J, Bert Williams, Trevor Benson, Peter Kenny and all the gang. Radio Eleanor. I'd like to say Happy Christmas to all the pirate DJs from Merseyside, past and beyond. That's MAR, Merseyland Alternative Radio. Radio Alpine, who is still with us. Radio Jackie North. Of course, back to the original Pirates on Free Radio with Merseyside, Radio Eleanor. Happy Christmas from everybody here down at the studio. Paul J will just collapse in a heap in the corner in a moment. Divorced from his wife, the dog doesn't want to know me. I love everybody. I love you, I love everybody. Paul J is absolutely stoned out of his little head. This record finishes, we'll be returning to Bert Williams and the saga of Free Radio. I love you. Free Radio forever, come on.
Star by the Tornadoes, Tornadoes I should say, from 1962 that number was from. Anyway, in this thrown together, I think would be the best word for it, documents. We haven't really, as I say, there's no scripts, no nothing. It's just straight from me, Bert Williams, this documentary live. No recordings and no scripts or anything. I got to the point where I was telling you about Andy Davis. I think it was only fair that I mention him because... Well, what would be the best way of putting it? It's very difficult to sort of express oneself. But anyway, I tend to feel that now that John Dwyer is no longer involved in the radio, this would be about the most blunt way of putting it. I tend to sort of feel that Andy Davis has become a replacement for John Dwyer, in other words, the new John Dwyer of the radio. The reason being is because I tend to feel that he's making such a mess of the radio, of the part of radio scene by supplying so many transmitters to so many different people and bringing so many stations on. You see, I regarded John Dwyer as a person who made a mess of the radio because he exploited it for his own personal money reasons and ego reasons and so on. And I tend to feel that Andy Davis is exploiting the situation a little bit too. And you know you should be glad.
it was only fair that I gave Andy Davis a mention on this documentary. So as I said, Andy Davis was brought in as a DJ on MAR by Paul J. And I said to Paul J, well, do you think his loyalties will stay with us? And, or do you think that he will abuse them and he'll go supplying transmitters to various people or making transmitters up? And Paul J thought wrongly, that's about one of the only major mistakes that Paul J's ever made, that Andy Davis's loyalties would have held and that Andy Davis would have stayed, his loyalties would have stuck with Paul J and me. About the time that the breakup came between me and John Dwyer, there was Andy Davis and another fella by the name of, what's his name now, I'm trying to think of his name, a bit difficult really, David Jason. They wanted to start a station and he'd made an approach to me for a transmitter because Andy Davis had tried to make one and it wasn't working very well at that stage. That was the Beatles, by the way, that you've been listening to in the background with Yeah, Yeah, She Loves You. Got the title wrong there. But anyway, David Jason and this wanted to join up with me to start a station. And anyway, I started a station then with David Jason's help. And it was called Merseyside Music Radio, and that was at the about September 1980, and it had Andy Davis on it, which went reasonably successfully for a few weeks. But unfortunately the position was that I was supposed to be running Merseyside Music Radio, and I was supposed to have control of the situation. To start with, when I first went into the agreement with David Jason, I was supposed to have 50% control, but after the breakup or a little row we'd had, and I'd took some of the equipment back, they agreed that I have 100% control. So in theory, I had 100% control on this new station, Merseyside Music Radio. But unfortunately, in practice, it was just a situation of utter chaos. And what seemed to be happening to me was, it was Andy Davis, because he was able to supply David Jason with a transmitter, was undermining the situation simply because he was David Jason, simply because of the mere fact that David Jason could get a transmitter off Andy Davis if things didn't work out with me. So I just seen the situation as utter chaos, and David Jason and various other people on that station were just ignoring what I was saying. It was just a situation of utter chaos. So for that reason I packed Merseyside Music Radio in about October 1980, October 1980. Anyway, listen to the Beatles in the background. Yeah. You'll have to give me a few moments here for pause, and I'll put a few records in while I try and think about the various events that took place around that time. the situation with the Merseyside Music Radio did seem to be very much undermined, simply because it seemed that Andy Davis was in a position to supply David Jason with a transmitter, so this really left ground for David Jason to run amok, or muck, with the station, you know, just do what he likes and not take any notice of what I was saying. And I do tend to feel that Andy Davis was probably saying to David Jason, well, I think he was probably saying, if you have any problems with Bert, I'll see what I can do to fix your word transmitter. So for that reason, Merseyside Music Radio was a failure, and I packed it in about October 1979. And since then, I mean, at the time, Andy Davis had given me his word that he wouldn't supply David Jason and various others with a transmitter if I packed it in and I did the decent thing for all concerned, because Andy Davis very much wanted me to pack it in, because he was sort of making out to me that he was getting very frustrated with David Jason, because David Jason wouldn't put his tapes on when he should have, and various things like that. So I did the decent thing for all concerned and packed it in, because I just seen a situation of utter chaos. Anyway, what happened then would be a few months later. Andy Davis merely took advantage of the situation, and he brought the station on from with David Jason about, when would it be, about, must have been about November, December 1980, and I think you probably guessed the name of that station. The name of that station is Radio Ellen. That's when Radio Ellen all started, in about December 1980.
Myself, Trevor Benson, instead of old Bert Williams there. Bert Williams is going to quench his thirst. Right, in good spirits and good feelings, we're going to Steel Ice Band, and this one's rather a festive number called The Holly and the Ivy.
As white as the